So weird. I'm here with my husband, who I'm calling Mr. Medicinal.
Hi.
Because we're the medicinal family. And we're going to talk about our parenting lifestyle and why we parent the way we do, how we maintain alone time with each other, with ourselves, with each child, how you can function more as a united household that helps one another rather than not helping one another.
Leaving all the doings to the mother, opposed to working as a family unit, I suppose, you could say.
As a team. Yeah. So, I guess we'll start by what makes you want to help me.
Well, I just think that in any marriage or union, whatever you want to call it, too many husbands, especially husbands who are working and there's a stay-at-home mother, feel like they make the money, so the mother should be left with the brunt of the work, when a stay-at-home mother is probably a much harder job than any job a man or husband is doing, and it shouldn't be thought of as a chore or work. It's a part of what being, exactly, it's a part of what being a family is about. Is you need to work as a team to make sure things are getting done, whether it's cleaning around the house or just taking time with the kids so that the mother can have a little bit of time to herself so she doesn't go crazy.
I was about to say, what are benefits of you helping me? Like, do you feel like there are any benefits when you help me, even though it's more tasking
work?
Well,
of course, I mean, it's incredibly mentally stressful to be dealing with children and cleaning a house and making sure the kids are stimulated. So it can be very difficult and taxing emotionally and physically for a mother to be home all day, especially in our situation where you don't have, we're a one-car family at the moment, so you're stuck either walking somewhere or staying home most of the time, and it can kind of drive you and the kids crazy.
Yeah.
So,
one, I should say that we're on a mini road trip to Tampa to actually go for an alone night for my birthday. We're going to go see Logic in concert. It is not here. We're going to go see Logic in concert and turn that up to us. We're going to see Logic in concert and we're going to eat some vegan food and swim in our hotel pool and hot tub and yeah, that's really what we're doing. It'll be nice to get a whole night away. His mother is in town this week, so it all happened in perfect timing that she planned to come down the week of my birthday. My birthday was 2 days ago. And now we're getting some alone time, one-on-one together.
Much needed alone time.
Much needed after our big separation, which you can listen about on my last podcast of why I disappeared. So, what do you think are like three most important things of parenting? That's a tough one, right?
It is a tough one.
First thing I think of is like being compassionate.
Yes, of course. You have to. You need to treat your children with the respect you want them to put out into the world, the love and the respect that you want to emanate from them, because too many parents are, and we're all guilty of it, even us sometimes, of being short-tempered, whether it's stress from work or whatever it may be. You just need to stay aware of how you talk to your children and how you interact with your children. Because it directly affects the way that they interact with other people and
how they interact with us. I think a lot of things are, we demand respect from them without teaching them what respect is or what it's like to be respected. So how can they model something that
they
aren't modeling for them?
Yeah.
I hate that phrase, like, to get respect, you gotta earn it, or, like, to get respect, you gotta give it. And, you know, it's the same way with children. Like, we have to give them respect so that, you know, they can model respect back and know what it's like to have healthy boundaries and to be able to communicate and have, you know, a safe place to talk and know that they aren't, you know, judged or criticized.
They need to feel comfortable being able to express their emotions to you and how they're feeling without fear of judgment or, yes, judgment.
I just think about a lot of kids now that, like, clearly aren't respected in their households, and we see things like shootings and bullying and, you know.
Very easy to tell the children that are in a difficult home situation.
Yeah, you can always check it out. And I mean, every home situation is different. Nobody's a perfect parent. So I get, like, especially for, like, a working mother that's single, how hard it can be to raise a child alone and then, you know, not feel like you have enough time with them. And then when you do have time with them, you're just so stressed about life that you're irritable and not able to stay in the moment to see actually how they feel. And I mean, I think a lot of times we would just put ourselves in their shoes to think, if I was 3 years old, 4 years old, and this was happening to me, how would I feel? Especially these minor things that seem no big deal to us, but to them it's a big deal because they don't know actually, like, really big life problems that they're going to have later in life, that to them these are their big problems in life.
A lot of the emotions and issues that they're having, they're all experiencing for the first time and don't know exactly how to react to it or how to feel, and you just have to make sure that you allow them to be comfortable feeling the feelings that they're feeling.
I feel like kids that lie a lot, it's because they don't feel safe to actually communicate how they're feeling or what they've done.
They fear the reaction from their parents.
Especially if you're, like, quick to react rather than, you know, I try to, like, separate myself to be calm later because I'm very, like, an angry in the moment person. So I know for me, it's important for me to separate rather than dealing with the problem in the moment. And I noticed that with Landon, too, our 4-year-old. He's better if you let him cool off for a minute and then talk about it rather than trying to solve the problem immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's really counterproductive to try to, like, immediately solve it with him. Whereas Ella, Ella's more, like, sometimes she can be, like, tantrum either where you gotta step back and give her space to, like, feel what she's feeling. But also, she seems more quicker to want a solution to a problem rather than Landon just wants to step back. And he doesn't want to be overwhelmed.
Have some alone time.
Yeah.
With his mommy.
Yeah, he's a lot more like me, and she's a lot more like you. So it's like the more that we understand, especially you both are Aquarians, you and Ella, Landon's a Virgo, so.
She's right on the cusp. I think she's the last day.
Yeah, I think she's the last day. She actually falls into Pisces when I search her chart. But I know that she has a lot of qualities of Aquarians, and also just DNA qualities as well, of being passed on from you. And then I see things in her. She's more spunky like me, more adventurous like me. But then
Landon's definitely more of a homebody, but
yeah, Landon's
in
definitely
that,
more of a homebody
in
like
the
you.
Separation that we had, he was with me, and some of that, not that it's necessarily all his, but it could have off on him a little bit.
I mean, we have to remember that there's also,
and again,
like,
we were also in Jersey where it was cold all the time.
We're also in, like, you know, there's the astrological happenings, and there's, like, genes passing down of, like, traits that are passed down, you know, what you model for your children they become. And then there's also just, like, experience of things that change you to be different. And can't expect to raise perfect children. Like, they're all going to have things. You just have to expect to give them the space to be able to communicate and process and understand and teach them how to, like, overcome their problems so that they don't have to later. Like, you know, us with our lives, we've had to go so much later we come to it so much later, trying to like repair such past damages that weren't ever taught to be overcome in the time that, you know, now we have to try and figure out how to do it. So knowing that we've, you know, spent so much time focusing on this, and you, especially of recent, having it more coming up in healing time, you know, or realizing how important it is to teach them now before later in life they're trying to figure it out on their own. And, you know, then it becomes hard to, you're probably just going around, right around that. Sorry for driving. As I mentioned.
I'm driving.
You're driving this.
We're in the car.
And then, you know, should we talk about veganism and why?
Well, yeah, I think that aside from growing up learning what you model for your children, there are a lot of additives and garbage in the food that, and the convenience foods that are so highly processed and advertised, that cause different hormonal imbalances, and
like
other things, and
precise, like undesirable,
and
sugar,
we've noticed
sugar in the diet.
Yeah, we've noticed such a huge difference in mostly Landon, because we kind of, by the time we had Ella, we were already starting to transition.
Yeah.
But the difference that we've seen in Landon is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's very profound changes.
Especially this,
you know, going from like
day and age.
Super high energy, you know, back, Landon had a vaccine injury, which I've mentioned before, that caused him to have encephalitis, a lot of like high amounts of inflammation in his brain, which gave him a lot of headaches and
nonstop screaming,
a lot of
moodiness,
no trouble to sleep. It would really affect his appetite because his gut was all messed up. So, in healing, I was looking for myself as I was dealing with my own issues, which I'll speak on another day. And, you know, I started doing this 3-day raw challenge. I ended up keep going for about 6 weeks. And in that time, we really realized how effective of a detox it was. And while we were spending, you know, how much time researching, detoxing him, we didn't even think about the foods we ate, how they could influence such a profound detox and be so effective, like probably the most effective we detox ever saw. And, you know, doing intermittent parasite cleansing and heavy metal testing, I really feel like the diet changes made such a astronomical difference in him. And, you know, being that he's so wise, and, you know, for having all these disabilities and ailments and issues growing up, he's so smart and brilliant, like beyond his years, that, you know, at 4 years old, he chooses to be vegan. He knows it's immoral to eat a fellow sentient being, and he knows, you know, in his heart, not because we influence it, but because we've never hid it from him.
Well, and it's important to explain to your children what you're doing, not just forcing them to eat this diet without an explanation, because that does nothing but it's just a form of controlling your child.
But even talk to them, it's like a new form of brainwashing. You know, when we grow up in school and our parents were brainwashed to believe what they believe, and it's like a new wave of brainwashing, really, like trying to
just erase the old brainwashing, reprogram them,
yeah,
to
like
think for themselves.
Them to actually have a choice, you know? Like, if you knew what happened in the industry, you probably wouldn't consume what you consume, because how could you ever contribute to such immoral and inappropriate acts to these things that, you know, feel like we feel? And
unfortunately, so many people choose to stay ignorant to it. Because it's out of their comfort zone. They don't want to hear about it. Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to see what goes on. And
because they know if they see it, then it'll really impact them to realize they have to make a difference. And it's such a profound difference.
At least I would like to think a majority of people, if they really knew what went on, would make the conscious choice to
compassion. Yeah.
Would make the conscious choice to
I really
avoid
think that too.
Those products.
And I mean, it may be different for everybody, so it's not applicable to people that aren't vegan. You know, they're ignorant and using their your eyes shut, but there's so much information out there, even, you know, many profound and reputable sources like WHO and, you know, so many studies and, you know, the most long-term China study, like, all show there's the best way to eat is a vegan diet, you know, being that, you know, meat clogs our colon and our arteries and, you know, this high fat, saturated fat diet just, you know, tears apart our body and, you know, that's why we have so many ailments. Look around, you know, like the other day in the diner, when we were in that diner and they had the vegan options, we went to a vegan sanctuary for my birthday and saw some animals, and I went to a diner after, and all the people that were eating vegan were all people seemingly in shape, and on the other side of the diner that was not were all visibly unhealthy, and, you know, it really makes you think about it, like, had they just known a simple choice of instead of ordering a burger made from a cow, that they could be eating a burger made from plants that tastes just like the burger made from a cow. Especially like Beyond Meat and, you know, companies like that have put in the vast effort to really make this to be really amazing transitional food.
Amazing how far it's come in such a short period of time. There are so many more options now that so many people don't even realize. They're just not
opening their eyes,
and
yeah.
Stuff like that isn't advertised anywhere near as heavily. It's stuff that you have to take your own time to
really
look for and research about, because
and read the label.
Exactly, these companies that have all this money are paying for all this advertisement for you to see in every commercial and every billboard.
And it's so funny because they say like vegans are brainwashing, but yet you're marketed constantly. Like the only people marketing veganism are the activists and the advocates and, you know, the vegans.
Well, and there are vegans out there who are a bit
much, of course.
I don't know,
but that's radical on both sides.
It.
You know, that's both sides of the spectrum.
Our goal is not to push our lifestyle on anyone, but to encourage people to think for themselves and make a conscious choice for themselves and their families to become healthier and more aware of what is going on.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And the fact that, like, when we changed, we went, you know, more plant-based. I wasn't even really vegan. It was
I literally gave up meat overnight. Dairy was a little bit more difficult, but that's because you literally become addicted to it and you crave it very, very heavily.
Drugs. Yeah, you know, like the
I don't want to say it was
cathamorphins are like equivalent to the cannabinoids in breast milk.
And it's like the way they affect your brain is very similar to heroin, just on a much lesser scale.
Yeah, but it's still, like, addictive. You know how, like, sugar's addictive, like cocaine? Like,
yeah.
I compare that a lot. And there's been so many studies of that, too, where they were giving the mice, you know, or against animal testing, but I'm grateful for the, you know, information they've gotten out with this, that they've given mice, you know, one group cocaine, another group sugar, and they put the mice in the same room with sugar and cocaine, and all of the mice went to the sugar. Even the ones that were on the cocaine, they went to the sugar. And, you know, that's like the same thing with this cathamorphin that, you know, it's opiates, it's opioids in the casein protein, and that is what makes the cow supple and continue to thrive and stay on the milk, just like cannabinoids.
Casein is an incredibly carcinogenic protein.
And it's the same as like a baby for cannabinoids in breast milk. That's what helps prevent failure to thrive and, you know, helps them continue to suckle and have that, like, munchy effect. That's the same thing for, like, the cathamorphins in cow's milk, that, you know, they use that to be addictive, basically. But even though cannabinoids are not addictive by nature, I still think that's crazy. But we didn't even switch from, you know, we're eating paleo diets, so we were already eating high animal fat, raw dairy.
Well, yeah, I went through that. I went through that stage where I was eating grass-fed meats heavily.
Got it.
Grass-fed butter, grass-fed cheese, and it's, yeah, not only is it expensive, and it may very well be a little bit, I don't know if
better
I want to use the word healthier.
Just because in factory farms, they're given so much, you know, they're not fed appropriately. Cows are not grain-fed animals. They're not...
But it's also much more, overall, it's much more damaging to the environment because the amount of space and land that these farmers need in order for the cows to be even considered grass-fed and grass-finished is substantially more than that of the regular factory farm. Don't quote me, but it might be close to 10 acres per cow.
Yeah, that's true.
In order for it to be considered grass-fed.
Well, now there's no regulations on that. So they can label things as grass-fed in the store and it not be at all. Because there's no regulations on that anymore. Like, Trump, when he came into office, that was one of the first things he did was pull those fucking chances on the meat. And, you know, that's what happens when you have lobbyists. You know, you don't have lobbyists for the fruits and vegetable farming. You have lobbyists for, you know, the meat and dairy, you know, the cattle industry, the agriculture industry is where you have a lot of lobbyists sitting down and getting, you know, bills and laws changed to suit them and benefit them. And they get so much subsidies, and compared to, like, the plant subsidies, like, it's crazy.
They tell you there's not enough land to grow enough fruits and vegetables to sustain the human race, yet the cows and the other animals that are grazing eat easily, I don't know the number, but a lot more than what we do. So the land that we use to grow the crops for them to eat alone,
which is also destroying the rainforest, you know,
would be more than enough for us to sustain ourselves.
And we could literally end world hunger with switching to a plant-based diet, you know, like everyone's always touting, oh, hunger, homelessness. I mean, you could literally transform the world by eating a plant-based diet, but people just, you know, people don't impact on meat. You know, so many people, I saw a post this morning, so many people want to go back and change just one small thing to make a ripple effect to change the future, but yet they don't realize that their ripple effects and their small change can make such a big, profound difference in the world now that we don't need to go backwards. We need to keep moving forwards and make the difference now.
And it could all happen so quickly if everyone would just dedicate themselves to, even if you just started trying it, the difference would be so substantial.
Even I had a friend reach out to me, and she finally is now what she feels officially vegan.
Some grass-fed cows over there.
Officially vegan. And she, you know, shot me a message yesterday saying, my skin is clear, I'm sleeping better, I have more energy, I'm losing my bloat, like, all these different things where she feels better about herself. You know, once you try it and you really see what happens and the difference it makes, you really can see how beneficial it is. And it's so important to research, though, to understand how to eat well while eating a vegan diet. You know, I think the vegan options that are in the store can be great for transitioning, and there's many plant-based, you know, processed items that, you know, we should generally avoid it, but we're still humans. We still want that type of stuff, and, you know, there's still that great in-between where we don't need to go, you know, totally radical.
Yeah, no one's asking you to go,
yeah,
exactly, no one's asking you to just go completely whole food, plant-based diet.
There's so many, and that's like a place to get to, and that was what happened with us, is we switched from a, you know, paleo diet to fully raw, than a plant-based diet, and, you know, it made such a profound difference in our viewpoint, and we gradually went to vegan. Like, I remember the first year I wouldn't even eat vegan cheese, because I was like, I don't want that processed food, and then I finally tried it, and I was like, holy shit, like, this could make me end up ever, like, really craving dairy, where I know, like, if I ever want it, it's available. It's not something I need to eat all the time, but there are substitutes for your cravings that can help you get by,
early on in your transitions, where you give up your cheeseburgers, but you still crave them.
Yeah, you still
And you can
them.
Still have a hearty, filling
and
cheeseburger,
so
and have it not be cruel.
Just by switching from, like, a regular cheeseburger from a cow to a plant-based cheeseburger, can make such a profound difference in your health, even though you're you're still eating processed food for so many people that you've even, you know, changed their damage of health. Like Brittany, for example, you know, she has intestinal cystitis where her bladder gets inflamed. She didn't go plant-based, she went vegan. She was eating processed vegan food and still transformed her health on a processed vegan diet. So if that doesn't say how much you're reducing the situation in general, I'm not sure what does. And I mean, that happens for so many other people too. But making that switch, you know, made it much easier where we did like the radical shift first.
Well, and before so many people, you hear them say, oh, I can never go vegan, I can never give up meat, I eat meat all the time, every day. So did I. I ate meat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I had dairy, pretty much. Maybe not. I've always been fairly healthy. I would usually eat meat and dairy in the morning. And I usually had meat, and I always ate a lot of vegetables. Meat, vegetables, and fruit for lunch and dinner. I was never really a lot of cheese. Earlier in life,
like,
I did a lot of cheese, but I ate a lot of meat. I probably ate more than, I ate a lot of chicken. I probably ate 6 breasts of chicken a day, which is disturbing.
Way too high, and that's when you were like using whey protein and you started having that kidney issue.
Well, I had gotten multiple kidney infections from, I was drinking protein shakes, multiple protein shakes in the morning, and then eating tons of chicken for lunch and dinner.
Way too much excessiveness.
And
we're not even made to like eat that much protein. Like our liver, our pancreas.
The average person needs 50 grams of protein, usually max a day.
I'm probably at like 25, 30.
And I probably don't even get fit, some days.
It's crazy for me, like, your issues were, like, joint inflammation, you know, you had, like, a lot of
pain. I had a lot of pain in my knees and my elbows.
And for me, mine was just a lot of inflammation all over. I had really bad digestive issues, and I couldn't gain weight, but yeah, I was eating a lot, and then I was in periods where I was basically anorexic, where I had no appetite whatsoever. I couldn't eat things. I was forcing myself to eat, which then made me sick.
Eating all those, a lot of the meat products, they back up in your intestines, and your body isn't even, you think you're getting all these nutrients and all this protein and all this whatever, but your body isn't even absorbing it. So you have all this extra stuff that backs up in your intestines and in your colon. And
so what do you feel like is like raising vegan kids in like a modern world that's generally against veganism?
I don't find it very difficult at all. The original transition.
I think it's because we're free thinkers, where we're not easily conformed to what everybody else wants us to believe, and we more so think for ourselves and discern for ourselves. So it's like, it's hard to be influenced by the world.
We stopped buying the meat and dairy products, and I mean, we didn't waste anything, so we finished that off, but we started buying the vegan options and introduced it to the kids, and they never really even...
Landon always was a great plan eater.
We modeled well for him.
Yeah, from the start, he always ate beans.
He probably eats more protein than I do, almost some days.
Yeah, he's real good about eating.
Loves his beans.
That, and he's really good with his veggies and salad. And, you know, it's so amazing. It reminds me so much of me when I was a kid. I loved eating salad.
And he'll eat most vegetables very plain. Like, he wouldn't even, like, I would try and do, like, stir fries. Like, little veggie stir fries with a little bit of seasoning and very little oil, usually avocado or coconut oil. And he would rather just eat, like, sautéed in water or boiled vegetables.
Yeah, it's cool. And, like, just a little bit.
Vegetables.
But he did, like, you know, he tried my curry recently, which was, like, a
huge step
for
him.
I've been making curry for a while now, and he finally tried that.
He seems to like to eat things separately. He didn't originally like things combined. He always wanted it in separate...
Very, like, OCD about it,
separate portions. But he ate the sausage and peppers the other night. Vegan sausage and peppers.
Mom, yeah.
And he's
into, like, so many people in general. One of my best friends said, you know, 4-year-old gets it, why can't I get it? And she went vegan overnight. And that was really cool, that it wasn't my influence, it was Lennon's influence that really impacted her.
A four-year-old, well, three-year-old toddler can do it. Why can't you?
Like, raising, you know, compassionate and influential children, you know? Like, I don't want my kids to follow the crowd. I want them to stand out like you did and, you know, create amazing ripples in the world. I mean, you've influenced so many people, you know, about eating animals and, you know, just showing, like, you know, that he has such a big heart of love.
Everything about his story is inspirational to a
lot of
people.
Yeah, it really is.
From his vaccine injury to his diet change, and even our transition to being more aware parents.
Yeah.
He's made a complete, it's like a complete.
And I feel like it's very rare that you see this. Like, I was in the anti-vax community. I was in all these communities with children with, you know, ailments and trying to get biomedical healing, and never have I seen a story like Landon's. Like, not to be like, you know, what's that word, vain, or, you know, really in the most humble way possible. I've never seen a story like that.
So many doctors and parents, children like that, they work more on accepting it instead of trying to change it and reverse it.
Yeah, realizing that there are ways to impact and change these things, you know, like,
as opposed to just accepting it and living with it.
Just to have this ailment, and I think if I never really truly believed in that, we would never be where we are today. Like, knowing that this wasn't my child, and I
spent day and night researching, lost sleep researching.
We
lacked time together because you spent it
researching. And that's also like a part of my whole back out of my community. You know, I left all the groups. I removed a lot of people that were only on my page because they were anti-vax. You know, I stepped back from a lot of that because I realized how much it was really impacting my life to invest my time in people that, one, didn't want to change, didn't want to learn, and two, like, it was just really negative and dark thinking.
Hate and acceptance in that. Yeah, they want you to just accept it and live with it. And they also, a lot of them are, they're just very angry and hateful of it. And that doesn't help you change.
And I've definitely been there. I know, like, mothers with vaccinated their children, when you're angry, like, it's so hard to see people making choices. And it's like, hi, look at this to my son. Like, you're supposed to care about us. And, like, you're not even influenced by it. It's so hard to deal with that.
They want to hate the doctors for this, and it's not. It's the system. These doctors went through a system that is corrupt.
And it really is a system. It's
Most doctors probably honestly went into it thinking that they were going to make a difference and help people.
Yeah, I mean, most doctors.
And they themselves are brainwashed.
But when you get brainwashed away from your intuition. So then you can't even tune in to, like, what's actually going on, because, you know, if you really tune in, I think you can pick up what's going on with you, or you'll be drawn to the right places, like seeing the right things at the right time, where you know what's going on, and you know, like, what to do, even if it seems so crazy, you know, when I started parasite,
you can feel when something isn't right.
When I started parasite cleansing Landon, I was like, oh my god, I feel like this is so crazy, I'm doing parasite, like, I've never even known about parasites, and I'm giving parasite cleanses to my kid, but then, boom, like, such big changes from just that, like, not even just going vegan, like, even the parasite cleanses made such a difference, the consistent vitamin C every single day, you know, like, it was crazy just to even see, you know, and it was hard to go through detox, I think a lot of people don't realize how hard detox can be.
When you go through detox and you get worse before you get better, your body is in a healing process.
Yeah, how much you gotta, like,
so
really
have to fight through it, and it takes persistence and dedication.
It really takes patience, you know, like, I remember.
Because so many people, you start giving up dairy and meat and other things, and you're eating healthier, and fruit will give you diarrhea, and you won't be able to.
You remember one of the first detoxes Landon had, and it was like a week straight. He was like screaming constantly and freaking out, and he wouldn't eat. And I remember sitting on the couch and telling you, like, I don't even want him anymore. And then, like, the next day, he took him to a chiropractor, and that's when he started doing activated charcoal and, like, working towards that and being really consistent with adjustments. And that's when he saw such a big difference. Like, he even stop screaming in the middle of his adjustment with his sleep.
Just so sleep.
That was really crazy too, like seeing, you know, and people just don't trust how much he's better, and I just think about mothers who live like that every day, and they don't realize there's things they can do to make a difference, and I just couldn't imagine if he continued to go on like that, how much my family would be tested. You know, you were at work, you didn't have to see it 24-7, where I'm seeing it 24-7, where I'm like, it's so helpless to see things wrong with your child, and there's nothing you can do in the moment, or seemingly there's nothing you can do. That's a really scary thing, and it's been amazing to have Landon, who was vaccinated from birth,
up until
Ella,
17 months.
Ella, who has never had any, and she has not a single issue, like a couple colds maybe. Anytime she's got a fever, it breaks within 6 to 8 hours, and you know,
she's
not naturally, yeah.
She's never had any form of Tylenol or fever reducer.
She had Motrin one time. Remember when they were running through the house and they knocked over that wooden thing and it just slammed her in the head?
Motrin
that one time because I was really concerned. You know what, I do believe in times that Western medicine should be used. I do believe in that. But I don't believe it's as much as
in serious extreme.
Yeah, like,
serious and extreme,
you know,
situations.
Had we taken her to the ER, then they would have done the same thing. So to me, it made no sense taking her there. We put lavender and arnica on her head, and it was gone in like a week, and that shit was huge.
You would have never
that
known it
so
even happened.
Big. Yeah, you would have never known it happened. And, you know, it was really scary, and I immediately acted on intuition and knew. I mean, I did that bottle of Motrin out after that because never felt the point in time of needing it. And, you know, she's getting on arnica the rest of the time. But that was a really scary moment. I think we all as parents have really scary moments that if we knew how to handle things in an emergency, we wouldn't be so quick to rush to a doctor that, you know, one, you could lose time of having you reacted, you know, sufficiently faster. You save time, and that can save so much in a child. They're not as prone to us to injuries.
Just rush to the doctor or the hospital where there are sick people.
Yeah, and you expose them so much more. I think that's one of my main things of never rushing to the hospital is how much sickness there are in a hospital. And, like, especially in an ER room where people are going in there with what the fuck ever, you know? Like, and it gets so scary to do that. I mean, there are times to do that. You know, had she, you know, really needed stitches, that would be one thing, but it didn't split open. And I think just seeing the difference between Ella and Landon, just really, like, anybody can believe what they want, but that said a lot to Dobra. Seeing the difference from her never having any problems.
Digestive issues was one of the main issues with Landon, and Ella has never.
God, she's got some of the healthiest. We've been saying that for a long time. We wish we had such a healthy balance as she had, because, you know, she was fed majorly plant-based, and by year we were vegan. So she really didn't consume much animal products through the first year of her life, especially not the first, you know, 6 months, except for what was passing through my breast milk. And then, you know, after that, I mean, it was such a short period of time that she would have been eating meat because we wouldn't have introduced that so soon. So she really hasn't had much animal products in her life. And God, she's so healthy and brilliant and silly. And, you know, her vocabulary is catching right up to. And, you know, it's just amazing to see the difference. And, take a deep breath after that one. So, what do you think are other things to tell people coming, maybe like becoming a new parent, like things to think about or research? Aside from like the food they eat and, you know, holding out till 6 months when their gut closes, having an open birth gut where they're prone to end up having that leak out of their digestive system, which causes so many ailments. And, you know, I feel like a lot of children, ailments come from birth because of what they were fed, and, you know, vaccines influencing that, researching all that, and really, like, don't just look at the pro-vax side or just the anti-vax side, but, you know, both sides, and really discerning for yourself and using your intuition.
Anything you have questions about, you're better off just do research yourself.
Yeah, especially since doctors have no training in nutrition whatsoever. They're just trained to
diagnose
and prescribe. Yeah, so it's like really important to research for yourself. You know, you'll probably see people online telling you, oh, well, don't use Dr. Google, but, you know, if you go to GoogleScholar.com, that'll take you to studies from all over the world, and you can search anything there and actually read studies and not just be reading blogs. You know, watch your sources when you're reading things. It's great to get cool snippet information there, and sometimes people link, you know, what source they have, so it's great to, like, use that, especially as a beginner, but it's even more important to really find the studies and dig deep. And, you know, I know now they're censoring so much on the internet, so many studies that you have access to back to 3 years ago, I can't even pull up anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it just says the webpage isn't available, and, it, you know, when something's retracted, they normally state, you know, it's been retracted or whatever, and they're not retracting them, they're just making them not visible to the internet anymore.
Which should tell you something.
Yeah, and, like, watch what people tell you, too. Like, take the information that someone gives you and research it. Don't just think it's, like,
say-all,
end-all. Like, especially someone you don't know in a Facebook group or something. Like, don't just take that as a dense world.
Like, the documentaries that are... And there are a ton of documentaries that even I've watched on Netflix. And at the end, you can usually find where this information is sourced in the credits and research it for yourself. You don't have to watch a documentary and say, okay, well, this is...
That's the end all be all.
This
That's
is
what
fact.
I mean. Yeah.
One of my favorite ones that I just watched recently was Forks Over Knives, and I had thought I had
That's
watched
one
it.
One of the best.
But there's a lot of... I think they go into the China study on that one, where they research the different regions of China, and the ones who...
I think it's Dr. Campbell.
Yes, Dr. Campbell and Dr. Esselstyn.
Yeah, they have Dr. Campbell on there.
And they did extensive studies. And the proof was very obvious.
But it's still important to, like, continue to research. And people don't feel like that they have the time. But I feel like I'll take the time to do it now to prevent having to try and figure out what's going on later. Go try and figure out what are we going to do later,
so
people are worried about treating things when it happens, but let's prevent these things from happening. You know, we love our children, we want to make sure they have the best, and none of us are perfect, but, you know, we all want the same as a parent. And, you know, when you know there's this profound risk in so many things, and so many people can't act like they don't know these things anymore. Like, you know, when you have kids, it's so important to research. You know, you're bringing a life into the world that, you know, deserves the best and deserves to not suffer. And I don't think anyone wants to see their child suffer. So
you should want better than what you had for
your children. Not trusting doctors, and really, you know, not just not trusting doctors, but, like, really taking it into your own account that, hi, I can research too. I have a great life.
You can't expect someone else to care more about your child than you.
Yeah, especially someone who makes a profit off of your child. You know, you're hiring them. So, you know, nobody is going to have the best interest for your child but you. Absolutely. And I'm just so lucky that, like, we've always been on the same page as things.
For the most part.
For the most part, yeah. Or, like, you know, we've had some deep conversations about it where we didn't always see eye to eye, but over time, really, you know, presenting information on both sides. And not just taking that, we said it because you said it, you know, that's what I believe. Like, we've always even, you know, challenged each other of what we believe, and I think it's really helped us to, like, get to the same page of not just believing what you say. Like, I think a lot of husbands believe what their wives say just to keep them happy, and, you know, like, they say happy life, happy wife, or happy wife, happy life, but I don't think that's necessarily true, because, you know, just because your wife's happy doesn't mean you are happy. So, like, how is it a happy life if you're not happy? You know, like, each side should both be happy, and if it's not, you have to meet back in the middle and figure out what's going on to, like, what's actually, you know, it's taken a lot of, I mean, we've been together for 10 years, and it's taken us a lot to get to the point of really communicating to figure out, you know, what's going on with you, what's going on with me, and how we can meet in the middle and solve the problem. And, you know, it's effort that's the hardest move to make, and it takes a lot of courage to make the difference, to, you know, take effort.
To talk about things and to make conscious changes that legitimately
need to be changed. Everyone's like, well, that's just drama. No, conflict is not drama. Conflict is problem solving. Like,
it's a matter of being able
to
being able to have those different views and talk about it and not get angry or upset when someone doesn't agree with your exact way of thinking or what you're originally thinking, and to be able to, like you said, meet somewhere in the middle.
I feel like you were talking about veganism first, and I was like, I still don't believe, like, eating animals and not eating dairy is bad, remember? Like, you were very, and I was like, I don't know, like, I'm just trying to heal myself so I can go back to what I was doing, you know? Like, I was really trying to go in for the long term, and you were really like, wow, like, it's cool because we've influenced each other in both those ways. Like, had I not influenced you to even, like, open yourself up, and you see such a difference in what it made for me, that, you know, we probably wouldn't be where we're at now had we not been, you know, consciously influencing each other, you know, and there was a lot of fights and stuff in there, but, you know, what are you going to do?
You work through it.
Yeah. So, I was thinking about something else we could talk about, and then I forgot.
Being new parents.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that before we end?
I was just somewhere along the lines of I think it's got more to do with the man or masculine side of it. So many men are, especially nowadays with all the violent sports and violent TV shows, and men for so long are made to think that it's not manly to show emotion or to show love. Especially being a new father, new parent in general. Most mothers, because I don't really know, but they have a maternal instinct and they're just loving with their children. And then, not that the fathers aren't loving, but they feel like they can't show emotion.
Well, we have to think about how fast that when kids come into the world, they're told don't cry, don't feel emotions, and they're shut off, especially boys. You know, we have this culture where
because
boys,
you as a parent, don't want to hear the crying, don't want to hear the yelling.
And most, I feel like even women are pulled away from their intuition because of how they were raised.
Well, and the babies, when they're that young, they're not crying to piss you off or annoy you. They're crying because there's some
need
that isn't being met. And I think it's mostly on the man's side, the masculinity side, because it's all.
Of
course it is. I'm just saying the over
masculinity
in the world today.
You know, like they're taking away from actual sacred masculinity and these great traits that men have to offer the world. And it's going into this, like, dominance rather than this equal.
Being masculine doesn't,
you know, it's
mean,
like,
you
know, that. It's that one speech, that little. That logic, you know, like the Grammys, whatever, it's just like women are stronger than any man I've ever met. And we think that strength is defined by our physical body. But really, like, there's so much internal strength that is so much more important than our physical body. You know, like, our internal strength is what gets us through. And I think that's the thing to think about, too. Like, definitely, like, pulling away from that, like, sacred masculine and divine feminine, even when women are so far away from, like, their amazingness that, you know, they're allowing men to dominate and make them feel that they're not equal because of the imposition that men are physically stronger and can physically harm us. We all live in that fear of men can physically harm us, where they don't realize women have that strength. Thankful that I've always been a fighter, and, you know, I've always never been scared to, like, fight with a dude if I had to, you know, like, I feel like I've always been, like, in this process of taking my power back, and that's just a really good thing to implement of, like, being away from that, and it's so important to allow our kids to feel boy or girl, you know, and allow them to be who they are, whether...
Both of our children are so incredibly loving and compassionate, and it's because we show them that.
Yeah, we're all very cuddly. And, you know,
Landon probably tells me he loves me and kisses me a billion times a day.
And you see that modeled out for other people, you know? Like, it's so cool when you see your kid loving on someone else, you know? And while we should be careful about that because there are risks, I think it's okay when they would have loved their friends and, you know, express, I love you and you're important to me. You know, when children say, I love you, it's kind of like, you are important to me and you matter to me. And, you know, that's, you know, when they say I love you, it means so much more, you know. I mean, it does for us too, but we as adults throw around I love you so quickly in relationships. Like, we jump from relationship to years later we're in love, but, you know, how do you love someone you don't know? And, you know, nobody knows us better than our children, really. Like, if we give them the chance to do it, stay open to them. So, how do you feel like we manage getting alone time?
Our situation right now.
Harder.
But,
I'm just saying
it's about taking what free time you have and making a point to be, even if it's just being in the presence of that,
like cooking in the kitchen
of that person. Yeah,
you know, whatever kids around, like
kids fall asleep, even if you're tired and you're just sitting on the couch together, you don't even always have to be talking. Doing what you can with the time that you have, and being that our living situation is a little bit all over the place right now, but
we're
in the process of moving into our own place, and I think it will only get easier from here.
Yeah, and it's also like when you come to a place like organization, like kind of not really like having a routine, but being a little bit more organized with your time of.
You don't feel like you're rushing around.
You know, a couple hours a week to be with you, and you know, you need to allot time during the week to be with them. And what do you feel are good, like child days? Like, what do you find are good things that you do with kids that make you have good one-on-one or two-on-one time with them?
Even if it's just me taking them to the park on either earlier or later in the day,
and they enjoy, you know, like you actually enjoy taking
that
time
way. You get time to yourself to do whatever you may, whatever you want
like
to be
want
doing.
To do.
Whether it's just relaxing on the couch,
or take a bath,
reading, watching a show you want to watch, taking a bath, just anything. My hours at work are a little crazy right now, so I try and do what I can with them in the morning, whether it's just sitting with them while they eat breakfast and talking to them, or just like
you don't realize how far like just talking and playing with them can go.
Like
you
start
like,
reading more with them. I just don't show too much interest in it at the moment, but
and great ways to get them interested in reading is taking them to the store and letting them pick out the book they want to get, and that'll make them want to go home and read that book. You know, like. That always helped me in wanting to read is like go to the bookstore and pick out the book myself. And it wasn't like school mandated reading.
Yeah,
you know?
That's something
like,
you're forcing them to read.
And I mean, Ella loves to read, so she's easy, but Lana can be a little bit harder. She's a little more picky. And then, how do you feel like you manage alone time for yourself? Especially like while you had that time alone, like what were things you were doing in free time that you could still be doing now if you manage?
I did a lot of reading.
Reading Eckhart Tolle books, which had a lot to do with, like, what you can talk about that. You know, reading books that really helped you to become more conscious and, you know, introspective and self-realization.
It's hard to explain exactly.
It is hard to explain.
It just kind of, it really helped me to become more aware of, because so much of us as humans are stuck in just kind of a going through the motions, and you don't take the time to appreciate the world that's around us. Everyone seems to be rushing everywhere, and not. I went on a lot of walks, and you just appreciate what nature, what is around us, and
it's
everything.
Really good way to ground yourself and stay grounded. You know, a lot of our issues come from not being grounded. And not being feeling safe and secure, knowing that we actually live in a pretty safe world. While there's evil happening on the earth, is not trying to kill us. You know, the evil is. And, you know, we have to remember the strength that the evil is trying to conceal. And that is connecting to the earth and realizing, you know, we have this great God connection with trees and animals. And, you know,
we're all on this earth together.
Yeah.
You know, take care of it in yourselves.
At a low tide for me, I feel like I haven't been reading lately, but
running and walking are very therapeutic for me.
Yeah, I like to walk and I like to run and I like to take
focus
baths.
On your breathing.
Go to the gym alone. I was doing that a lot in Jersey, just going for a couple hours to the gym by myself, getting a good swim in, and just letting myself be, you know, released of any worries in that moment and allowing myself to be present with myself, which allowed me to really have a lot of good introspective time. I appreciate really any time alone that I have that allows me to like introspect and have self-realizations, or alone time where I can call and catch up with a friend that I haven't talked to in a while because life is so busy. Or, you know, I love taking baths, but also I've been learning to keep a safe balance of, you know, having general self-love, but also, you know, self-love time, taking a bath and taking care of my body, but also, you know, letting myself indulge in guilty pleasures, like watching Parenthood has been, like, a really good thing for me. You know, it's allowing me to feel emotions I wouldn't usually feel. It's allowing me to feel empathetic in a way that I'm not judging someone or anything like that. You know, like, not that I'm judging people when they're going through stuff, but it allows me a lot of different feelings to feel. And, you know, we live in, we're humans. We all want to have guilty pleasures. And, you know, while we need to moderate them and not make sure they become overboard or consume us, it's so important to also continue to have guilty pleasures because we still live on Earth and there's nothing wrong with that. And I like taking time to garden by myself or even with the kids just running around. Like, even when they're running around behind me, you know, they're playing nicely, that I can still be in that introspective time gardening and grounding myself while, you know.
You're able to do that while
yeah,
at the same time.
Yeah, and it seems like I'm not alone, but I am, like, alone in my head to have those moments. And a lot of people are scared to get in that time in their head of introspection and, you know, looking at different things that are going on in their lives and trying to evaluate what's going on. You know, sometimes we are so quick to react, we don't find solutions to the problems, but if we tune in, we can find what we're supposed to be doing. And, you know, not enough of us are taking enough time to introspect that. Even times in introspection, I've realized things that I could be doing differently in parenting to make my life easier. And that's important. Like, if I don't get that time alone to be in my head to figure these things out and process my thoughts, which is extremely hard as a Gemini, I actually make myself my life easier by doing this. And sometimes it's emotion, and sometimes I'm feeling all different things, but it's really so beneficial to have that time.
It is.
And I think that about wraps up what we were going to discuss. Do you have any, like, send-off words?
Send-off words? Like, my, your kids.
And it's 100%.
You can learn a lot from them and about them just spending time with them and being in the moment with them.
Yeah.
Don't be so wrapped up in, I mean, I'm guilty of it.
I think I
was always stressing the past or the future instead of being in the moment with them, and that's when you're going to learn the most. Is when you're really taking the time to focus on what's going on in the present moment instead of...
And remembering that it's also okay to take time alone, that it's important to continue to date your spouse, and, you know, it's important to have alone time. And, you know, my apologies to the women that don't have husbands to understand, and maybe, you know, you can let them listen to this so they can actually see it from a man's perspective of, give me, like, message to men or manly parents. For me, I would say probably listen to your wife And if she's at the point where she's acting crazy, you should probably really listen to your wife.
Take time to pay attention.
And if you ever feel like you can't solve really a problem with one another...
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.